you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Appreciate the presence of the Lord I feel in this place. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, musicians. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2, if you would. Praise the Lord. Encourage you to be praying for the youth retreat. The Lord will just come by and move in a mighty way in our hearts and lives. We've got quite a few new young people that's been coming to youth faithfully. Some are from Kids for Christ. Just doing a coming along, just awesome, awesome, Brother Jihaw. And just thankful for what the Lord's doing in their hearts and lives, and just excited to see what the Lord's going to do in this youth retreat in their heart and life. And they're just growing, and it's exciting to see, and just looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. It's nothing that I can do. It's nothing Brother Man's going to be able to do or say. It's going to be what God does that changes the hearts and lives of anybody, but especially of a young person. You know, we can do all we can. We can try to influence, say, but it's going to take the power of God in their life working and changing them. Praise God. Matthew chapter 2, and I want to start reading at verse number 1. And it says, "Now then Jesus was born in Bethlehem, born of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east, and we are come to worship him.' Then Herod the king heard these sayings and was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, scribes, and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard this, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house once again on this Wednesday night, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, how much we need you, Lord. God, only you know. God, our minds, I don't even believe, can begin to comprehend, Lord, the depths and the desires that you have for our lives, Lord, and how much we truly do need you. God, I ask you to speak to us in a mighty way. And Lord, just have your way in our hearts and in this altar time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to us on the thought, where are the wise men of today? Where are the wise men of today? Now, this is a very familiar passage, certainly during this time of the year. Very familiar text, part of the Christmas story. But you know, now during this time of the year, you hear all kinds of things. You see all kinds of things and different places, different things where you go. And on Christmas cards, you just people, you know, they don't have to be very religious, but come around this time of the year, they get real religious. You know, they'll go to church during this time of the year. They'll send out cards and they'll have things on there that you know, have you ever got a card from a family member that didn't want anything to do with God But then they send you a nice, beautiful Christmas card with Jesus on the main in the manger on the front of it. Has a scripture maybe on the inside of it, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, why are they sending this? You know, it's like they're trying to put on a front or something like that. We all have met people like that, seen people like that. And, you know, one of those things that I'm talking about is, you know, the one that comes on a lot of Christmas cards, wise men still seek the Lord. But do they? Do wise men really still seek the Lord? That's something that we say, and it's something we try to push during this time of year that we're, in a sense, I don't think people's trying to push that, hey, you know, I'm a wise person and I still seek the Lord. But at the same time, that's really what people's trying to do. They're trying to let everybody know, hey, there's still people that really do seek the Lord. And I understand, and understand what I'm saying. There is people that still seek the Lord because they're wise. But there's a lot of people that send that kind of stuff out on cards, and they try to portray and put on a front, even within the church, that there's something that they're not. And it's because it's this time of the year, and they want to make people think that, you know, there's something special, or that they're real religious, or whatever the case may be, but they really ain't got it all together. And even though that there are people that still seek, wise people, wise men and women that still seek the Lord, as a whole, I want to ask you, do wise men still seek the Lord? It's something to think about. And you know, when I was a kid, I you know, every kid don't ever think that they're as dumb. You know, and if we was to take a poll tonight, and either on paper or by raising your hand, you know, does anybody think they're not very wise? Most people's not going to raise their hand. If I was to say, raise your hand if you think you're, you know, a pretty wise person, most of us would raise our hand if we was to be honest with ourselves and tell what we really thought. And you know, I can remember as a kid, you know, I did some things. I had a friend of mine that we found a big brown, well, it wasn't a big brown paper, but like those little brown sacks you take your lunch in. We found a bag about half, three quarters of the way full of Black Cats. I don't remember where we found them, but we got the right idea. We had a next door neighbor between my house and his house that he was an older gentleman, and he had a humongous backyard, big old huge trees, and he would let us go back there and play. I mean, we could have built a fort back there and burned it down over and built it 300 times and caught fire to it, and he would never know. He didn't care. He didn't go back there. He didn't bother. He said, hey, we'll do whatever. So we got these Black Cats and went over to this area where we played a lot. He had probably three or four humongous trees. And when they dumped the leaves in the fall, buddy, I mean, they come down. He was an older guy. They didn't ever get picked up. I mean, there would be leaves left there from two or three years later. I mean, big old piles, knee high of leaves just in his backyard. Well, we got over there in one of those piles of leaves and decided, you know, we would, you know, play around with these Black Cats. The only problem is we got the right idea of, let's just light the whole bag. But we did, and of course there was just one big boom. And I mean, it was much louder than that, Isaac. Well, lo and behold, when it exploded, of course, we didn't think about what was going to happen. There was fire everywhere. Caught those leaves on fire, and we're sitting there beating this stuff out. We wasn't very wise. We got it put out just in time that his mom come around the corner. Hey, what's going on? Well, we don't know. Well, you know, played all dumb. But it wasn't very wise. I remember another time when I was at my aunt and uncle's house. I was supposed to be mowing the backyard. And for whatever reason, they had a pretty big backyard. Of course, they didn't have a rider that I could use. At one time they had, but it broke. So I had to push it. Well, for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to try to figure out a way I didn't have to mow the yard. So I come up with this brilliant idea. So I thought of unscrewing the oil cap a little bit, and trying to start it, and you know, maybe it'd squirt out a little oil and make them think something was wrong and I could get out of mowing. Well, I unscrewed it a little bit, never had done anything, I don't know why I come up with this, but I unscrewed it just a little bit. And then when I pulled that string to start that mower, it shot that sucker completely off. Well, there's the cap gone, oil is everywhere, and there's a little bit of something, I can't remember now if it was a mower or the grass on fire. Wasn't very smart, wasn't very wise. But you know, there was a There was a time when I was at Bible school, and I guess it was actually after Bible school that I was working there at the school, and a friend of mine, we had some friends over, and by the name of Justin Shear, and we were cooking hamburgers that night, and didn't have a gas grill, we had the charcoal, and the lighter fluid, and one of us had the right idea that you put the lighter fluid on and let it soak, and the other one said, no, you light it immediately. And nevertheless, we went back and forth, and finally, I just gave in and let him do it his way. And I think I wanted to let it soak, and he wanted to start it immediately, but we compromised. We let it soak, but he closed the lid, and after a while, he decides to light that, Brother Isaiah. He raises it up just 2 or 3 inches. And he's over here, and, you know, I'm not too far off, and he sticks, it's one of those, you know, long extender lighters, thank the Lord. But I mean, when it lit, I mean, it shot out, you know, the flame. And I didn't check on him because I was too busy over here on this other side of the deck laughing at him. And when I finally quit laughing, I come over and said, man, are you all right? Are you all right? His eyebrows were all singed. I mean, just a bunch of hair, you know, on his face is singed. Part of his arm hairs are gone. I mean, just... And my wife and his wife, in a few minutes, they come running out. You know, what was that? I mean, they seen the flash go, you know, across the window over here. And, you know, he was all right. But we didn't use very much wisdom. We weren't very wise in what we was doing. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, as I said, if we was to take a poll here, not too many of us is going to say, you know, I'm pretty dumb. I'm not very wise. Most of us feel like we're a wise person. We you know, if you're older, you feel like, hey, I've been around a while. I've learned. And I'm not saying that you're not. But what I'm saying is a lot of times we give ourselves sometimes more credit maybe than what we should. I mean, if you'd asked me before I lit that, or my friend lit the grill, both of us would have thought, you know, hey, we've done this before. We're wise. We know what we're doing. But we didn't, Brother Jehaw. So I want us to think about that as we're going through here tonight. And I want us to notice several things about these wise men. Now, number one, they weren't considered just wise men because they went off looking for the king. They were considered wise men even before that. They were they had good jobs. They weren't just somebody that, I mean, one of them studied the stars. One of them, one of them could have been, they believed maybe even a priest and, different things like that. They was of high accord, but nevertheless, they weren't just goofy men that, hey, let's start following this star. And then a lot of people, they think, well, you know, they were wise men because they followed. Well, ultimately, at the end of the story, yeah, they were wise men because they followed the star. They did what was right, and it was very wise of them. But I want us to think about a couple of things here. Number one is their diligence in seeking Christ. Their diligence in seeking Christ. The wise men, they had great diligence in seeking after the Christ. Think about all the trouble that they went through during that time. Think about the trouble that it must have cost them to leave their home and travel to a place where Jesus was to be born. Now you got to think, they were following a star. They didn't have a road map. They didn't know exactly where they was going to wind up. They didn't know how long it was going to take. They're following a star here. And you know, you got to think about what all of that entailed. I mean, they did not know where they were going. They didn't know how long it was going to be. They didn't know when they was going to be back to their homes, much less their families. Maybe if they have livestock, they didn't know when and how to prepare exactly. And there's been times in my life where I was prepared to do something or prepared to go somewhere. I can remember one year when I was in at OBI working there. My wife and I, we was getting ready to go home for Thanksgiving. We left on a Tuesday night, and or maybe it even been a Wednesday night. I don't know, but the church there, Bible Holiness Day, was having church whatever night we left, and we were headed home. And we got about 2.5 hours away from the school, and the car died. I mean, when I say died, it died. Transmission went out or something big like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't ready for that. But nevertheless, it happened. And then these men, you know, they were prepared as much as they could be. But they was diligent. And when they left, they knew that they was going to be diligent in seeking after Christ. Now, when you left your house tonight, did you come with a determination and diligence in your heart that you was going to seek after Christ tonight? When these men left their house, they did. I mean, you think of the money that it would have cost them. You think about the time off work it would have cost them. Think about the time away from their family if they had family. And all the things that they had that come along with that. I mean, there's no doubt that there was a lot of things that they had to prepare and just leave behind in endeavor of seeking after the Christ. They didn't have the nice things that we do. I mean, they didn't have, you know, people going to see a, you know, someone's going to see the president. When you see them on TV, well, so-and-so's in town, they're going to see the president. What do they pull up in there? In a limousine or a real nice, fancy car, limo, something, you know? I mean, they didn't have no limo. I mean, they didn't have the Holiday Inn to stay in, Comfort Inn, or any of the other place that, to stay. No, they probably was sleeping out under the stars. I mean, they was probably riding a camel. You ever rode a camel? I mean, I can remember riding a camel as a kid. I hadn't done it that long ago. I rode one with Faith or Josiah. We were somewhere, and there was a camel there. It wasn't very comfortable. Not at all. I mean, a horse is a lot better. They didn't even have the luxury of stopping at Chick-fil-A and eating along the way. They didn't have none of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure they ate off the land. I'm sure they had some provisions that they had. But how were they going to get other provisions? They didn't have a job, chances are. And they may have gone from town to town and had to work a little bit before they could move on. I don't know. But they were diligent about seeking after Christ. I'm sure they ran into dangers. I'm sure that there come times where they come across bad things that was happening in the time that they were traveling. But they kept on moving on. They kept on moving on. They were not worried about what was going to happen. They were determined. They made sacrifices. They made sacrifice day in and day out. Every chance that was there, every time that they had an opportunity, they made a sacrifice. I mean, you think about from town to town that they possibly went to, wherever that star led them by. I mean, every time they entered the town, I'm sure Sister Martin, that they thought, you know, we can just stop off here. But no, they said, no, we got a purpose. We're going to find this king. We're going to find this little babe that the star's leading us to. You know, just like you and I, and pastors talked about it, you can't leave the back door open. I don't really think they ever had a back door. I think they were determined that they were going to seek and be diligent and find what they started out looking for. And we've got to be that way. I want to ask you this here tonight. I've got two questions I want to ask you. What has seeking after Christ cost you and I today? In our day and age right now, what has seeking after Christ cost you and I today? What has it really cost you? I want you to think about that. What has it really cost you? Just saying, God, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and you know, that's it. I mean, have you given up anything? Has it required anything of you? I mean, for most Christians, it's cost quite a bit. Oh, I know, to get saved, it's free. It's free, and we jump on the bandwagon, and we forget about that sometimes, that, you know, that it does really cost other things. Yeah, salvation is free, but you still have to, it costs you something. In the long run, you wind up giving up some things, or maybe we should say, making an exchange for some things. Because I've never had the Lord take something from me that in return He didn't really give me something back that was a lot better than what I gave up. Second question I want to ask you, not just what has seeking after Christ cost you today, but what diligence, if any, have you shown in following Him? What diligence, if any, have you shown in following after Christ? These wise men showed some great diligence. Do you realize that, you know, when they started out looking for the king, they just didn't wonder upon him like the shepherds did while he was a baby in the manger? You know, you've seen, how many's all seen a nativity? How many seen it with the three wise men right there? The three wise men was not right there at the nativity. They come upon a house later on when Jesus was a toddler, approximately 2 years old, is whenever they come upon him, the wise men. So they were diligent. I mean, they started out early on and they traveled for a long time seeking. They were very diligent in seeking after the Lord. In Proverbs 8 and 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I'm talking about, have you been diligent? In Isaiah 55 and 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. How diligent are you in seeking after the Lord? I'm not talking about just seeking after the Lord here tonight, but I'm talking about since you've been saved, how diligent have you been in seeking after the Lord? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. A lot of times people, they get discouraged, they throw in the towel, they backslide and stuff. Why? Because they try seeking after the Lord at any given time. Not whenever he may be found. They don't just call upon him while he is near. They try to call upon him anytime, whenever they get ready. But it doesn't work that way. I don't want to embarrass Sister Cervantes, but no doubt she come down to the altar during the song service. Why? Because she felt the presence of the Lord. She was coming down seeking the Lord while he may be found. Now, you don't always have to come down to the altar. I mean, I assure you and I rest assure you, if the Lord tells you to and you felt an urge to come down, you come down. The altars are open at any given time, during the message, during the singing, whatever. But I'll tell you what, when you call upon the Lord, whether you're in your pew or whether you're at home washing the dishes, you call upon why he may be found, and you'll find him. But it isn't whenever we want to. There's times where I haven't wanted to call out upon the Lord, Brother G. Oh, there's times where I didn't feel like I had time to call out upon the Lord. But nevertheless, I knew it's what I needed to do. There's times where I didn't feel like I was prayed up enough to call out upon the Lord. I didn't feel like that I was where I needed to be to call out upon the Lord. But you know what? I can't depend on those things, church. I got to call upon the Lord whenever I know the time is right to call out upon the Lord. I can remember a time when I was a young person and I wasn't as close to the Lord as I needed to be. The Lord was dealing with me and I was in a sense running. I don't know that I would say I was backslidden or not, but I'm telling you, I know I wasn't exactly where I needed to be. I was on my way backwards, I'll tell you that much. But we entered into a revival, and you hear me, we entered into a revival with a guy that I did not like. I didn't like him. And there was a lot of people that didn't like him. And not because, well, just because of the way he preached. There's some legitimate things. I mean, I'll tell you, to this day, I wouldn't walk across the street to go hear the man preach. But you got to understand the type of guy that this guy was. He wasn't somebody that was, well, I'll just tell you, he was one of those guys that would call people out a lot of times. But he was one of those guys that, you know, well, somebody here is having a problem with arthritis. I guarantee you, there's somebody in here right now probably having a problem with arthritis. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? There was a lot of things that this man did, but nevertheless, I believe in being faithful to church. And if my pastor felt like we needed to have a revival with this guy, guess what I did? I went to revival. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Now, I'll tell you this. I went through that whole revival praying, God, because I knew there were some things in my life. And Isaac, I went through that revival praying, God, don't let him call me out. God, don't let him call me out. God, don't let him call me out. And as much as I didn't like him and didn't agree with everything he did, you know, I still was praying because I thought, well, you know, he may be goofy in some ways, but he may hit it once and hit me right between the eyes. But you know what? God used that revival, the last night of that revival, to get a hold of my heart. Right down on the front row, he had families come up and stand, and I don't know who was where, but I was on the end, and my mom was next to him, or my sister, I don't remember, but he had everybody holding hands, and I remember he come by and he touched whoever was the first one was on this end. There was three of us. And I mean, I don't know if they fell out or not, but buddy, I was out. My head should have hit the pew and probably been split open. I don't know how hard I hit the thing, but I was under the pew somehow. I don't know, Brother G, if I was rolling around a holy roller or what all took place. But I laid there, and I remember coming to and realizing that I was on the floor. I didn't know where I was. And when I opened my eyes, I'm looking at the bottom of the pew. Man, I had laid there long enough that God worked me over. I mean, God got a hold of my heart and life. And you know what? I got up from there and I went and made some things right then with some people that I had to go make things right with. I mean, I didn't wait around. I didn't do nothing. I went and made things right then and right there. And the number one reason is because God told me to. Number two, if I tried to put it off, well, it wouldn't get done probably. You know how it is. God speaks to you about something. You put it off and, it's after you let it go a little bit, it's easy to let it slide on by. But you know what happened? When God started working in my life that night, I started responding. I mean, He put me out and He began to talk to me and deal with me while I was underneath that pew. But do you realize He didn't make me get up and be changed? No, I chose to give in and let Him work in my heart and life. What did I do? Just like that verse says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He was near. He came by. He dropped by that night in that service with a preacher that I didn't even like. And you know what? He did a great work in my heart and life. That's why I say, church, you never know. I mean, you're here on a Wednesday night. You're faithful. Praise God for that. But you never know the night that you may stay home or the night you don't come to revival. That may be the night that God was wanting to work in your heart and life. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this here, if my people, that sounds like the Lord's talking about His people, right? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Sounds to me when He says, if my people which are called by my name, I mean, it sounds to me like He's talking to God, to His people, the Christians, the church. He ain't talking to the world, but He's still yet, even though He's talking to the church, He's trying to get us to realize that there are some things in our life, possibly. And it's more than just possibly. There's things in some people's lives. Because He's flat out telling us, if my people, if they'll do these things. A couple of the things here is He mentions the wicked ways. And then He mentions sin. Wait a second. We stop and we can't be talking about me. He's talking about wicked things. He's talking about wicked ways. He's talking about sin. Surely that's not God talking about His people. But yeah, He is. Yeah, He is. I mean, let's just drive it a little closer to home, church. If the church as a whole, if all of the churches as a whole right now would truly get down and repent and start living a good, clean, holy life and start being faithful to church, do you not think God might do something here in America? But the rest of the churches are just like us. Well, who's He talking about? He can't be talking about us. He's talking about wicked ways. He's talking about sin. You know what? The wise men was diligent in seeking the Lord. And we're going to have to get diligent about seeking the Lord just like they were. I mean, do you realize? I know they were traveling. Understand what I'm saying? But we're not out trying to find Him where he's a 2-year-old, where He was just born. We're trying to find and get a hold of the presence of God. And we're going to have to be diligent in seeking after the Lord. We need to stop and really think about how their diligence in seeking Christ and how it compares to our diligence in seeking Christ today is. They were told by Herod to go and search diligently. You know, I thought this was interesting how he mentions this, you know, go and search diligently. Have you ever had somebody, you know, you come up with an idea and when you got done talking to them, they had turned around and made it almost like it was their idea? You ever had anybody like that? Or they just flat stole your idea and, you know, went and did something with it. There's people like that. And that's the way old Herod was kind of, you know, go and see diligently. You know, I thought it was interesting, you know, and come back and tell me, you know, do you realize that they were already seeking diligently? They didn't start up something new after talking to him. Now, granted, when they left there, they were planning on coming back and telling him, just like he asked them to. But they weren't seeking any harder or any differently, I don't believe, than when they came and talked to him as when they left. Because they were already seeking diligently after the Christ. I want to ask you, what are we seeking diligently after? Let me move on to my second point. I want us to look at the discouragement they may have faced when they got to their destination. You think, well, what kind, why would they have a discouragement that, when they got to their destination? Well, they probably thought that the whole city would be excited about a king's birth. I mean, wouldn't you think that, you know, that if you was going in search of a king, and wouldn't you think that you're going to get there, he's going to be born in a big mansion in a big palace, that people's going to be celebrating the arrival? Well, we know the story, and that isn't the way things took place. We know that when they began their search and their journey, that people were not thrilled. People didn't accept them with open arms. But they walked, even when they got to where they go, they walked in the streets and they found out that nobody even knew who he was. They found out that it was quite different. That people didn't even know who they were, and they weren't even interested in knowing about the king. And that's where we're at today, even still today, that we're in a society in a day and age, and it's been like this all through time, where people really has no interest in knowing about the king. I'm sure when they traveled, they were perplexed and questioned, you know, once they got there, surely this couldn't be the king that, you know, surely we're not in the right place. I mean, this couldn't be. How many times have you got to the place where in the Lord that, where you wanted to be discouraged at what you've seen? I'm going to say that again. How many times have you got to the place where the Lord wanted you to be only to be discouraged at what you've seen? Now you may be thinking, Brother Armstrong, you're getting off tonight. No, have you ever been in a service or been in a place where God took you and got you in a place where He wanted you to be and He wasn't too thrilled to be there? I mean, what I'm talking about is that night when God was working on me, when God started working and started dealing with me, I wasn't really too thrilled to be where I was. There's been times where God's taken me places in my walk with Him where when I got there, I wasn't too thrilled at the outcome of the way things were because it didn't turn out very pretty like what I wanted it to. There's times and places in your life, in your Christian walk, that yes, you as a Christian, you go through trials, you go through circumstances, and it's right where God wants you to be, but yet, it's not your best choice where you would like to go. I mean, Brother Anson just talked to us Sunday night about going to Sudan and to Africa, you know. I mean, they don't have no electricity. Now, I understand, you know. I mean, I'm not saying he's discouraged. I don't believe that at all. But do you think he's, you know, man, we got to go there where, you know, it's, you know, the sun goes downwards, so we're in the dark. I mean, I'm sure he could think of a few other places that he might would have top choice. But do you realize that's not what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to follow after what the Lord has for his life. And I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's times where God gets us to a place, and what I'm saying is, I guess, firsthand, we may not be thrilled at what's taking place. We may not be excited. We may not be exactly on board with what God's trying to do because, well, maybe we just don't understand. But if we'll hang in there, if we'll not give up, I mean, do you realize when they got to where they were going, when they got to the city and they realized, hey, these people ain't excited, they may begin to think, well, are we even searching after the right king? Did something get crossed here? Did we catch on to the wrong star? I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of, oh man, what have we got ourselves into? These folks weren't excited. They weren't thrilled about this king. They weren't thrilled about this kid. But nevertheless, they didn't let it bother them. I said, they didn't let it bother them. And we've got to get to a place where no matter what happens, no matter where we get, wherever the Lord takes us, we got to hang on and be faithful because the Lord's not going to let us down. But a lot of times we, Lord, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This is not how I thought it was going to take place. You ever been there? Lord, I didn't realize it was going to happen this way, Lord. I mean, I don't know if I would have, agreed to this if it was going to turn out this way. I mean, I've heard people say, if I knew what all the things I was going to have to go through, I don't know if I would have. I'm not talking about salvation, but maybe in ministry. Maybe in doing something else. There's people, are you sure that this is what you want for me, Lord? Moses, did he jump up and down? I mean, y'all's looking at me like y'all don't understand what it's like. Moses, did he want to go and do what God called him to do? No. I mean, it ain't always a bed of roses. It isn't always what we want. And it can sometimes be discouraging, whether you realize and agree with what I'm saying tonight or not. We got to realize, but even though sometimes we ask, is this the right path, Lord? If we'll stick to what we know to be true and follow the Lord, He will never let us down. I mean, Sister Connie, she been without a job, and she got on working seasonal at Michael's. And she, you mind if I tell this sister what she was telling? I didn't think so. She mentioned it to me and other people. So, but she didn't understand. Man, I'm just getting 2 days a week, and sometimes not very many hours. I mean, that's discouraging. That can be a big letdown. But she remained faithful. She hung in there, and well, now she's got a permanent job. It's not full time, but they've hired her on permanently. I mean, God knows how to work and move. And sometimes it may not seem like we're on the right path, that God's not knowing what He's doing. But I tell you what, He does know what He's doing. And He knew what He was doing with these wise men. And He knows what He's doing with you and I. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." See, that's where we get hung up a lot of times, or I do. I don't know about the rest of you. But it's easy to, because it's my thoughts. I'm wanting Him to line up with what I've got planned out for my life. I mean, if I could take some things out, of my life and not have to have gone through some of the things that I've gone through, especially in the past 5 years of my life, there would be some things that I would have, I'll pass on those. Last time I checked, we don't get a choice. God hadn't given us a menu and said, all right, pick out what you want to go through here. This one's a really bad ones. These are the good ones, but they're all trials. But you pick out which ones you would like. He doesn't do that. He doesn't even let us make a choice and realize what the blessing is going to be on the... We don't get to... No. But God will make this trial a blessing, He says. God will make a trial to a blessing. He'll change things and let it come out differently. But it depends on how we handle things. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." Why am I here? Why am I at this place, Lord? I've been seeking You. Have you ever been to that place where you were seeking the Lord? And it seemed like it just got worse and worse and worse. And you were seeking and you wasn't getting any answers. How many times have you told somebody, yeah, I've prayed before and it seemed like my prayers were just hitting the ceiling and bouncing down? We've all been there. We've all been there. And there's times where, it don't matter. We could be as clean and holy as we ever could be. And sometimes that's what happens. Feels like we can't get through. You're trying to get that breakthrough and it just ain't happening for whatever reason. But then there's other reasons why those things happen. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." Verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will never hear." Psalm 66:18 says, "If you regard iniquity in my heart, if you regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I regard sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. And that's the reason why some people are in the place that they're in spite of them seeking after the Lord. You can be seeking after the Lord, but you know what? Just because you're seeking after Him don't mean that you're making any progress. I mean, today, this evening, I had to get out of my office, and I got in the van, and I drove around the block for a minute, and I come across over here down Kansas, and I mean, it's pouring down rain. I don't know if it hadn't been pouring down rain all day. I think it's rained the whole day. But nevertheless, it's pouring down, and here's these joggers. I'm not talking about someone caught in the rain. I mean, you could tell they had, you know how people dress when they're going to go jogging. They was inappropriate. They had a radio thing on. You could tell that. I mean, that's what they were. Two people, husband and wife or whatever it was, jogging down the middle of the road. I thought, good night. Tomorrow they'll be calling in because they got pneumonia to their job. They wasn't very wise people. Wasn't very smart people. But you know, too many times, we're seeking, and we're just spinning our wheels. It made me think, you know, those people were out running, you know. For example, you know, they were making progress. They were going around the block. Here a while back, I looked at some treadmills. Thought, maybe buy a treadmill. I knew the weather was going to get bad. I didn't buy one. But my wife was saying, well, would you really use it? Do you think we'd use it? I don't know. You know, you always think you're going to use something you buy. You know, I buy a new car, I'm going to use that. Treadmill, I don't know. But you know, I could get that treadmill and I could be running all day long. But I'm not making any progress going anywhere. I'm just spinning my wheels. And there was a lot of people that they got to the place in their walk with Christ. Oh, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I mean, they feel I'm being faithful to church. They feel like they're doing all these things. But do you realize they're just spinning their wheels because, well, in their seeking of the Lord, they've forgotten about the iniquities in their heart that separated them between God. Something to think about. It's not very wise. It's not very wise of us to do something like that if we're really trying to be diligent and seek after the Lord. Too many times we find ourselves in a place and it's just because the Lord loves us and is trying to get our attention before it's too late. You may be where you are because you like doing things your way and not God's way. A lot of times it's easier to do things our ways. A lot of times it's easier to do things the way we want them done, but it's not the way the Lord wants them done. A lot of times we hear, you know, man, so-and-so was seeking the Lord. So-and-so was doing this. They're growing in the Lord and they did things this way. Do you realize we can't base everything off of what somebody else is doing in our walk with the Lord? He says to work out your own salvation. Did you know that? Let me add a little rest to that everybody forgets. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. I can't, you know, get to heaven on the shirt tail of my parents. No kid can. And you know, we can't get to heaven on the shirt tail of our pastor. Or on our brother and sister in the Lord. Well, they made it this way. They did this. We really don't know how they may have been making it. My last point is their discovery of the King. Their discovery of the King. They did not find Him in a palace. They found Him with the poorest people in a nation that had lost their freedom. This is a King whose coming was announced by a star. They may have been thinking, is this all? Is this all there is? But you know, they weren't disappointed. They got there, they bowed down, worshiped Him. I mean, they got there and they bowed down and they began to worship Him. They laid before him, they laid their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men were willing to search diligently for the Christ. When they found him, they were willing to lay down their life before him and begin to worship him and give of him their treasures. Sister Crystal, if you can come back. I want to ask us tonight, where are all the wise men of today? I mean, really, where are all the wise men of today? These wise men were truly wise men. They didn't give in. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't quit. No, they remained faithful. They remained faithful for a couple of years seeking the Christ child. They were diligent in seeking after him. They desired to seek after him. They weren't made to seek after him. They weren't paid to seek after him. They didn't have to go and do things just like you and I don't have to. But yet we can see that these wise men were truly wise in seeking after the King. I want to ask you, how wise are you tonight? Are you a wise man? Let's get politically correct. Are you a wise man or woman that's here tonight? How wise are you? When they saw the star, in verse 10 it says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they seen the star where it was positioned over, where they knew that this is the house, this is the place. Hadn't even seen him. Hadn't even seen him. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they got in there, they fell down and they began to worship him. I said, worship him. They didn't praise him. They didn't begin to praise Christ. They didn't begin to praise the Lord. All they did was worship him. Because they couldn't praise him. We worship him because of who he is. And we praise him because of what he does. I said, we worship him because of who he is. And we praise him because of what he's done and is doing. In Psalms 34 and 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such by a contrite spirit. The Lord is looking for some broken hearts. He's looking for some hearts that are of some wise men and women that are willing to seek after him, to search after him during this, not just this holiday season, but during this holiday season. I mean, we have Christmas, we have holidays, we have Thanksgiving, we have Easter. We take communion. Why do we do these? Is it because we just want to have a big party? We take communion in remembrance of what he did for us. I trust that you celebrate Christmas in remembering of his birth and so forth and so on. And there's no greater time than this time of the year than to start fresh and start new and to really begin to be a wise man or woman and begin to seek after him. These wise men, they hadn't been trained, church. They hadn't been trained on what they were supposed to do, what they were supposed to say. I mean, yeah, they were some smart people. They were some smart individuals, but I don't really think they were much any smarter than any of us. They just heard about the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they believed and wanted to go search diligently until they found him. And there's some of us tonight. Oh, we've found him. We know him as our Lord and personal Savior. But I want to ask you tonight, are we really diligently seeking after him? Are we really diligently seeking after him? Oh, they sought for the babe, for the Christ child. They sought to find him and worship him. But do you realize they didn't leave that house the same way that they came. They didn't leave that house the same way that they came. When they came and they began to worship Him, do you realize they brought precious gifts to Him? And let me tell you what, every time you come to this altar, do you realize that you ought to be bringing a precious gift to Him? Each and every time that you come around these altars, you ought to be bringing a gift and presenting it to Him. And do you realize that you do every time you come, but the problem is, do you realize that your gift is yourself? I want to ask you, how are you diligently seeking after Him? There's a lot of people, they come around and we pray and we seek the Lord. We pray at home. But I want to ask you, are we really diligently seeking after Him? I know I'm repeating myself. I know, and I'm trying to drive it home. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's a reason why we're no more further along than what we may be. There may be a reason why we're spinning our wheels. But are we truly diligently seeking after Him? That lady in the Bible, she lost that coin. She searched that house over to find just that one coin. If you had a dollar here in dimes and you lost just one of those dimes, you drop. I mean, there's people that drop a quarter at the store and they won't even reach down and pick it up because they're too lazy. That lady had, it'd be equivalent to you having a dollar here in dimes. She lost just 10 cents. Now, understand, that's a you know, if we lost a dollar, we ain't going to lose sleep over. But you go back in time, just a tenth. She sought that. She looked all over. She just didn't look a little bit. She just didn't wander around and hope she'd come up on it. She just didn't look for 5 minutes. No, she spent time looking. She lit lamps. She did whatever it took trying to find that. Church, I'm trying to find something a lot precious than a little bit of money. I'm trying to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm trying to find a deeper walk within Him. I'm trying to go deeper than what I've ever been in my relationship with Him. But am I hitting that wall? Am I spinning my wheels or am I progressing? Hallelujah. I want us to stand. Hallelujah. Father, we need You tonight. God, speak to our hearts, oh Lord. God, I preach what You've laid upon my heart. Lord, I ask You to do the rest, oh God. Lord, there's people here tonight that desperately need You, Lord. There's circumstances in their life that, God, they've got to have Your help, Your guidance, and Your strength, oh Lord. God, there's each and every one of us that, Lord, can stand to go deeper in You, Lord. Oh, God, minister to us tonight in these altars, Lord. God, I pray that we'll earnestly seek You. We'll fervently seek after You, Lord, with the whole heart, Lord. And we'll realize, Lord, that it may take some days, it may take some nights, it may take some hours spending before You, Lord, before we get what we need. Help us to realize and be willing to pay the price. Oh, help us to be as these wise men were, oh Lord. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Church, I really feel in my heart that there's some people here that the Lord's wanting you to get a hold of what I'm saying about fervently and diligently seeking after the Lord. I'm talking about these men didn't start out on this journey and, well, find Him in just a day. And church, I've done it too many times. I've come around the altar with problems, with needs, with whatever. And I'm not saying this trying to get you to come pray for an hour. I'm telling you, there's times where I've come and I've prayed just a few seconds and not felt anything. There's times where I've come and prayed just a few seconds and I've really felt the presence of the Lord. Do you realize those guys didn't stop short outside that house? Oh, the star stopped. This is it. This is the place. He's in there. No, they pressed their way in. They went on in. They didn't care about who was in the room, who was in the house. In church, sometimes that's what we got to do, is come around these altars and press in and get a hold of what the Lord has for us. Let's come and find a place to pray.